भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ ज्ञानतुनिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाचलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन अस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टाम् स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकृतामयम् कदापीष्टापतन्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरु वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजाथां सहगना रघुनाथपण्डितं हंसजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपतां सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनाबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते जगतां सुरथापङ्गो मम मन्दामतेर्गति मत्सर्वस्पापदम्बोज राधामदनमोहन दिव्याबृन्दरङ्गकल्पद्रुमधा श्रीमान् रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थाव श्रीश्रीराधा शिवगोविन्ददेव श्रेष्ठालुपिसेव्यमनोस्मरामि श्रीमान् रासरसारम्भे वंशीलता तथास्तुता हर्षं वेणुस्मनाय गोपी गोपीनाथा श्रियैस्तु नः तप्तकंसन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च विवासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनिभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासति गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम
While in Vrindavan, we were discussing to some extent the various obstacles that will most certainly come upon our road back to the lotus feet of Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Today's journey here was symbolic of that. Three of the buses broke down. So we all had to readjust. One obstacle that does come on the path of bhakti is when we see devotees fall from the path. Sometimes junior devotees, sometimes close peers, who we have shared our Krishna consciousness with over the years, and at times even very senior devotees. Due to previous conditionings, due to perhaps the uprise of pride, due to the attack of the various demons on the path of bhakti that we discussed in Vrindavan, devotees temporarily fall. Tyaktva svadharmam charanam bhajam hare. But Srimad Bhagavatam describes that anyone who once tastes the nectar of the lotus feet of devotional service, the lotus feet of Krishna are none different than devotional service. Those who are on this path will sometimes fall astray. However, they can never be satisfied with material life because they have experienced a higher taste. So, it is an obstacle when we see others temporarily fall from the path. But we should know that Neha Bikramana Sosi Pratyavayo Nivedyate Svapamapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatovaya. That whatever effort one has made in Krishna consciousness, that spiritual advancement can never ever be lost. A devotee can temporarily, due to some offenses or some negligence of their proper sadhana, they could forget all the great treasure of bhakti that they have been given. Just like the story of Indra. He forgot he was Indra. And he was trying to enjoy the life of a hog, eating sewage. His Holiness Chandrasekhar Maharaj gave a very elaborate class on the biological contents of sewage. If you remember, it was very scientifically presented. How Indra, who's eating the finest foods of the heavenly planets, could be content with sewage, who have Sachi, a beautiful heavenly damsel, his wife, and Urvasi is one of his consorts. How could he be satisfied with a female hog? Sounds crazy, but this is the power of Maya. Maya means that which is not. Maya covers us over to forget who we really are and what we're really meant to have. So, in the same way, sometimes devotees, they become covered over for the time being. And they act in sometimes abominable materialistic ways. But we should know for sure that they will get purified. This is a very critical point. Please be attentive, 100%. When devotees fall from the path, when they concoct devious philosophies, when they engage in impious activities, when they take shelter of other religious systems, this is a challenge to our faith and our commitment. But if we are sincere, whoever comes and whoever goes, We will remain faithful. We will remain loyal. We will never give up the principles of Krishna consciousness. That is the price of pure devotional service. The Vaishnavas are like our carriers. We are dependent on them. We take shelter of them. Just like we have taken shelter of the bus to bring us here to Madan Mohan's temple. Similarly, we take shelter of the devotees, because without them, we'll never be carried back home, back to Godhead. However, sometimes a bus breaks down, and then a second bus breaks down, and then a third bus breaks down. But still, we all made it here, because we didn't give up. We understood, however many buses broke down, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan are waiting for us. And that is our destination, and we will not give up. If 20 buses broke down, we would have had Harinam procession to Karoli. We may have been quite late for darshan, but by the time we would have gotten here, what a darshan it would have been. So we should never give up. We must keep moving forward. And it is our very, very sacred duty to do everything that we possibly can to try to keep each and every devotee spiritually strong. Because there are many, many demons from within and without that are going to try to take us away from Krishna. And one of the ways we become very fixed is through becoming very firmly established in sambandha. Sambandha is the preliminary stage by which we establish our relationship with Krishna. We must be very well grounded in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We have to have a very strong spiritual foundation. Otherwise, when the storms come, we will fall. And the storms will come. That is 100% certified by our holy scriptures. If we have strong foundation, the storms will only make us stronger. If we have weak foundation, the storms will make us fall. We must understand very clearly what is truth. We must know what is the tattva of Maya, the Jiva tattva, and Krishna tattva. And the means by which the Jiva tattva can become free from the Maya tattva and attain the Krishna tattva, that is bhakti tattva. To understand these things very clearly and to live by these principles is sambandha. Why do we all remain bound in this material existence? Because of our attachment to enjoy separate from Krishna. That is the root cause of all suffering. The desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. This desire is due to the influence of ignorance. Krishna tells us in Gita that this knowledge is like the sun that dispels all darkness. Similarly, knowledge dispels all ignorance. And what is the knowledge? That we are all part of Krishna. We are in Him, and we are His. Srila Prabhupada and our great acharyas put great emphasis on us understanding what is material existence and what are the sufferings that are inevitable within this realm of consciousness. Unless we can control our mind and senses from the materialistic objects and fix our consciousness on Krishna, there can be no real enlightenment. But how to do that? It's very difficult. We have been conditioned since time immemorial to enjoying through the mind and senses. The jnanis, their idea is through mental discrimination to just completely subdue the mind and senses and make them blank, make them void. And the Buddha's philosophy teaches the same thing. However, the soul is dynamic. By its constitutional existence, it is ananda. It is anandamayi. It is seeking pleasure because its nature is to taste pleasure. So it can never be satisfied in a state of void or negation. Therefore, Bhakti Shastras, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, they teach us how to engage the senses in the service of the Lord, which is the true function of the senses and the mind. The demigod or predominating deity that controls the principle of lust is Kamadev. Kama esha krodha esha radro guna shamad bhava mahashano mahapapma vijayanamiha vairanam. Krishna says it is lust only, Arjuna, which is later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Krishna says from the very beginning we must conquer this symbol of sin called lust. Kamadev, in English, he is called Cupid. And actually, Cupid is worshipped in the Western world. He's not considered an obstacle. He's actually considered the best friend. To get his blessing, his mercy, is the goal of life. People directly or indirectly, they pray to Cupid, please shower your mercy on me. They want to increase their lusty desires, increase their facilities and opportunity to express their lusty desires, because they feel that's the meaning and purpose of life. That is avidya. That is ignorance. In the Vedas, he is often called upon by the name Madana. And he is conquering the world by conquering the heart, by inducing us to enjoy this world. But Krishna is Madan Mohan. He conquers Cupid. Madana came to Krishna in Vrindavan to see if he could make him fall down, to see if he could somehow or other attract him. He aimed his arrow at Krishna. Gandhara Pakoti. Krishna is more beautiful than hundreds and tens and millions of Cupids. When Madana saw the beauty of Krishna and aimed his arrow at him, he fell unconscious. He was so attracted. A mere expansion and expansion and expansion of Krishna is Naranarayan Rishi. He appeared in Badrikashram, performed great tapasya. So Indra was thinking, if anyone is performing tapasya, it's because he wants my wealth, he wants my position. That is the nature of false ego. And Indra's a devotee. Don't ever blaspheme Indra there. But still, he has certain conditionings. He's a karma mishra bhakta. He's a devotee, but mixed with desire to enjoy material life. So Indra sent Kamadev along with a whole host of assistants to do what he did to Vishwamitra Muni, somehow or other divert him from the path of tapasya. And Kamadev was right there shooting his flower arrows, creating such an environment that would induce anyone to go mad with lust. And Naranarayan Rishi, he just laughed at them all. Cupid created the most beautiful apsaras dancing around Naranarayan Rishi, singing songs and making all sorts of gestures. Naranarayan Rishi, out of his body came apsaras thousands of times more beautiful than Kamadev's. And he just laughed at them. Atmaram, completely self-satisfied. Cupid became very ashamed and scared. What's going to happen? He has conquered us by his renunciation. Naranarayan Rishi said, don't worry, I will not harm you. Just tell Indra that he's a fool. He thinks I want his heavenly planet. It's all an illusion. What do I want his heavenly planet? There's no happiness there. In fact, you can give him this Urvasi that has come out of my body. She's more beautiful than anyone in his heavenly planets. You can bring as a gift. So Indra was, when he heard the news, what happened, he was very much ashamed, but very happy to have Urvasi. In fact, from that day on, he couldn't live without her. Pretty well, all respects to Indra, but why didn't he learn his lesson? Why don't we learn our lesson? So Krishna's Madan Mohan. His beauty, his power is supreme. Therefore we approach the lotus feet of Madan Mohan in a sense of very, very profound humility. Jayatam sudatau pangur mama mandamatera gati matsarabaswapadambojao radha madana mohana. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he teaches us in this prayer how to approach Madan Mohanji. He said, I am lame. On the path of bhakti, we should not think we are very strong and we can just sprint back home, back to Godhead. Neophyte devotees think like that. neophyte devotees get a little taste of devotional service and start following the regulative principles and start chanting the rounds and start dancing in kirtan and start eating lots of prasad, and they think, I'm going to run back home, back to Godhead. I dare anyone to catch up with me. But Kaviraj Goswami teaches us that we should actually feel that we're lame. We have no power to walk. In another verse he explains the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas is keeping me from falling down in my lame condition. He says, I'm ill-advised. That means our intelligence is ill-advised by our own mind, by our own false ego, by so many conditioned souls around us throughout our life. So much ill advice is coming to us from within and without. We're actually helpless. But we must endeavor with great determination, depending completely on the mercy of Krishna and his Guru and the Vaishnavas. And if we do that, then we can actually get the shelter of Madan Mohan. Param drisva nivartate. As we develop spiritually, we gain a higher taste. At the beginning stages, Krishna attracts our mind away from sense objects through Vaidhi Bhakti, through just somehow or other restraining the senses. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita mahasi. Somehow restraining the senses and engaging them in Krishna's service. And gradually through this process of anartha nivritti, in the association of devotees, we begin to develop a higher taste. Where we spontaneously, naturally, simply want to serve the lotus feet of Madan Mohan. But in the beginning stages, we have to admit that we're fallen, that we're neophytes, that we're helpless, that we're really desperate. And we have to really hold on to the process of bhakti. We need the association. We need to hear Hari Katha regularly. Otherwise our intelligence will definitely become bewildered. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, to hear and chant the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna is the food grains that give us nourishment. Without those food grains, we will not have the strength to continue this fight against Maya. We'll be defeated. Do you know one of the greatest concerns about generals in military throughout the ages is how to get food to the soldiers? Napoleon, he was conquering the world. But then he marched into Russia, and there were storms and bad weather, and he didn't have any way to get proper food to his people. So they were easily defeated. And Hitler was marching from one country to the other, conquering the world.
We have visual aid here for this
one. Like the monkeys. This is a very important subject. But when he couldn't get food to his soldiers, although they were very well trained and powerful, what could they do? Without nourishment, you cannot fight. And it's not that you just tell the enemy, just wait till the food comes. If they know the food's not there, they're going to come immediately.
Because in war, every enemy is investigating through their spies, through their intelligence. When is your weakest time? What is your weakest point? That's intelligent warfare. It's back in the early 70s, in Israel, there's a day called Yom Kippur. It's a day of fasting from sunset the day before to sunset the next day. And everyone fasts. And they're not allowed to use machines. They're not supposed to drive in cars. They're just supposed to fast and read scriptures. And not supposed to watch television. Because anything you have to turn on is forbidden. Hare Krishna. That's the religion. They follow that strictly. So, you know, on the day of Yom Kippur, Jordan and Syria attacked them with militaries and bombs and planes and armies. Because they were thinking, they're not going to eat today, so we'll easily defeat them. But somehow or other, it was only a one-day fast, so they weren't all that hungry. So they won. But that's military. That's war. So whenever you're weakest, that's when Maya is going to come the strongest. And she's going to try to somehow or other divert your attention from your source of nourishment. Because she knows then she will defeat you. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says the grains that give a devotee nourishment is hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Nasta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttamas sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtake. If we hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, it gives us strength. Krishna is manifesting in our heart when we hear attentively from Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we chant our japa, when we chant in kirtan, that is our spiritual nourishment. Without it, we will definitely fall down. Thus Srila Prabhupada explained, if you're not chanting attentively your 16 rounds minimum every day, at any moment, you will fall victim to Maya. So you shouldn't think that your sadhana, your chanting of your number of rounds that you have taken vows to chant, you shouldn't think that just reading from Srila Prabhupada's books and coming to hear Srimad Bhagavatam is just something that's enjoyable or that is a pious activity. You should understand it is the desperate necessity to keep you strong against the onslaughts of Maya. Krishna is Madan Mohan. He will protect us from Madana. But we have to take shelter of him. And we have to take shelter through the process of devotional service. And when we commit offenses due to false pride, then Krishna essentially, either directly or indirectly, teaches us a good lesson. He withdraws his protective potency and we become bewildered. Without his protection, we have to be bewildered. You know the story of Lord Shiva. When he chased after Mohini Murti, he was totally bewildered. But he was happy. Because it was Krishna he was bewildered over. But that same potency, Yoga Maya, which covers over the devotees to increase their devotional service. When we make offenses to Vaishnavas, then that yoga maya becomes transformed into mahamaya and bewilders us in such a way that we think it's not necessary to chant. It's not necessary to hear. It's not necessary to take shelter of the association of devotees. Anytime that thought comes into your heart, you should know you are being attacked by maya. You cannot believe her. In war, we have to have each other. We cannot fight the war alone. Prabhupada said anyone who thinks they can be Krishna consciousness outside the association of devotees is insane. So sambandha, to establish our relationship with Krishna by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Madan Mohan and learning through the philosophy and process of devotional service how to dovetail our mind and senses propensities in the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, they taught us how 24 hours a day we can be engaged in Krishna's service. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. Hare Hare. With your permission, I'd like to explain something about the deity of Sri Radha Madan Mohan and how he came to this place. Vajranab, the great grandson of Lord Krishna, installed many deities throughout the land of Braja. The three most prominent deities, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. They were worshipped at that time with great opulence. But the nature of time, especially in this age of Kali, is everything good is under attack. And maya means to forget. So people, over the ages, so many different things happened that the deities were lost. People forgot where they were. This is a significant point to understand. Our own heart is the abode of the Lord, but somehow or other, he has been forgotten. He's been lost. We have no idea where he is. The path of bhakti is more or less to excavate our hearts and somehow or other find Krishna there. But he only appears by his own sweet will. The deity of Madan Mohan was lost for many generations. Sri Advaitacharya, the very intimate associate of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, traveled to many holy places. He lived in Vrindavan, at that place we saw called Advaitavat. And it was there
that Madan Gopal, which is another name for Madan Mohan, appeared to him. It is said that Advaitabad is the place where Madan Gopal manifested himself to Sri Advaita Prabhu. With such intimate love and devotion, he worshipped Sri Madan Gopal. Before returning to Bengal, Sri Advaitacharya entrusted the worship of Madan Gopal to one of his dear disciples, who was a Brahmin from Mathura, of the name Purushottam Chobe. This devotee was a Brijabasi. He had very, very pure love. And he related to Madan Gopal as Madan Gopal was revealing himself to him. And he was worshipping him as if the deity was his own son. With such love, Srila Sanatana Goswami, on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came to Vrindavan, leaving behind the extravagant life of luxury that he had in Sri Ramakeli. He was living as a beggar. He would survive by doing madhukari. Actually, great souls, they do madhukari not really for their own survival, but for the spiritual upliftment of the homes that they visit. For grihasthas, to give in charity to a sadhu is one of the most important principles for spiritual advancement. So Sanatana Goswami would just go from door to door, especially the homes of the Brahmins. And usually he would only ask for a little flour. Anyone has some flour. And he would make them into balls. And he would cook them in fire, putting them right on the coals. And that's what he would eat. It's called bhati. Sometimes he would get some roti. Sometimes some fried chickpeas. Very simple life. So he came to the home of Purushottam Chobi. And he saw the very, very loving worship that he had for Madan Gopal. And he explained to him some of the principles of deity worship. So Purushottam Chobi began to adjust his worship accordingly. Meanwhile, I think these monkeys only speak Hindi and they're retaliating against my moving the speaker so far back. Hari Hari. Just like Vrindavan here. So Madan Gopal appeared to Sanatana Goswami in a dream and told him that I want you to worship me. And he also appeared to Purushottam Chobi and said that I want you to give me as a gift to Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami, he said, but I don't have anything. I don't have a
house for you. I don't have a temple for you. There's nothing for you. But Krishna told him, I'm satisfied with your love. According to Bhakti Ratnakar, one time in Mahavan, Sanatan Goswami saw a beautiful cowherd boy. He was so attracted to this cowherd boy that he was just watching him. And the little cowherd boy just made friends with all the local cowherd boys, and they were playing on the banks of the Jamuna throughout the day. And after playing and swimming and herding cows, he went home. And Sanatana Goswami wanted to follow him to see where this cowherd boy lives. So he went into a small temple, the Madan Gopal temple. And Sanatana Goswami went in the temple, and when he went in, the only person that was there was the deity of Madan Gopal. So he understood that Madan Gopal was having his leela with the local Brijavasi boys. Sanatan Goswami was living at the Dvadasa Aditya Teel, which is on a mountain just above the Jamuna. And there he worshipped Madan Gopal, very simple. He had the deity under a tree. That was his roof. That was his temple, the tree. And each day he would get his wheat flour and mix it with Jamuna water and make it into a ball and then just put it on the fire and cook it, open fire, and he would offer it to Madan Gopal. Such simple worship. One day Madan Gopal spoke to Sanatana Goswami. He said that this food is very simple. Can you at least put some salt in this roti you are making? And Sanatana Goswami, with tears in his eyes and folded palms, he said, my Lord, I'm offering you what I have. Please accept it. Just at that time, there was a boat. Big boat was floating along the Jamuna, and it got stuck right down the hill from where Sanatan Goswami was doing his worship. So Madan Gopal actually took the form of a little cowherd boy and climbed down the hill and saw the man was in total distress, because his entire life savings was invested in the wares that he had loaded on that boat. He was coming from Multan, and he was going all the way to Agra to sell it all, to make a fortune. And now the boat was stuck, and it was sinking. So he was in terrible distress. So Madan Gopal told him that there's a very, very great devotee who lives on this hill. His name is Sanatana Goswami. You should go see him. So he came up and met with Srila Sanatana Goswami, offered his obeisances, told him his dilemma. And Sanatana Goswami explained to him Sambandha Gyan, that the real treasure is bhakti, not the things of this world. They're all temporary. They cannot satisfy the needs of the soul. You should worship Sri Radha Madan Mohan. He will fulfill all your desires. So Krishna Das Kapoor, this merchant, on the instruction of Sanatana Goswami, he bowed down to Madan Mohan. And when he bowed down, there was a little packet of salt that fell out. Just what Madan Mohan wanted. So Sanatana Goswami offered it. That little offering of some salt, Ajata Sukriti, you may say, it was an offering, a small offering, but it so much satisfied the Lord. In the association of Sanatana Goswami, this man learned the whole process of devotional service and how to keep Madan Mohan in the center of all of his desires, all of his thoughts, and all of his activities in life. He taught him the process that Lord Chaitanya gave to the world, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. As soon as he wholeheartedly and sincerely surrendered to Krishna, to Guru, and to the process of bhakti, his boat was, by the mercy of the Lord, free. This is also symbolic, because we're all stuck. We're all stuck in this material existence. But by the mercy of Guru, we could also be free. So he sailed his boat to Agra and made a large sum of wealth. He came back and he offered every single paisa he had to Sanatana Goswami to do anything he wants with it. Unconditional surrender. Sanatana Goswami, he was content sleeping under a different tree every night. He wasn't going to change his own life. He was just going to wear the same little tattered kopan and chadar that he found on the side of the road. He wasn't going to change his clothes. He didn't leave his multi-million dollar treasury in Ramkeli to come to Vrindavan to try to enjoy material opulence. He was experiencing the love of the gopis. He was self-satisfied. But he said to Mr. Kapoor that Madan Mohan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He shouldn't be living under this tree. Build him a beautiful temple. He took all his wealth and built a magnificent temple. Hand-carved red sandstone. This became the first substantial temple in all of Vrindavan. The temple of Madan Mohan. Sanatana Goswami had his disciples very carefully trained to worship Madan Mohan. Actually, the temple was under construction and Madan Mohan was given a suitable place in the meanwhile, while it was being constructed, the major temple. And Sanatana Goswami, although he was his life and soul, he continued to travel around Brajbhumi doing Madhukari, doing bhajan, writing books. We read how Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he was requested by the Vaishnavas to write the biography and the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, he and the assembly of all Vaishnavas
they specifically came to Madan Mohan Temple. And he prayed with his heart and soul for the blessings of the deity. And just as he was praying, the garland on Madan Mohan's body simultaneously fell, and the pujari came and placed it around the neck of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And all the devotees cheered very loudly by chanting the holy name. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami takes absolutely no credit for his authorship of this book. He gives all credit to Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, whose lotus feet is his object of worship. He gives all credit to this, to the assembled Vaishnavas' blessings, and to the mercy of Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Some years went by, and there was a son of Maharaj Prataparudra. His name was Purushottam Jana. He lived in Jagannath Puri. And he was a very, very great devotee of Radha Govinda and Radha Madan Mohan. And he very much wanted to place the deity of Srimati Radharani beside Govinda and Madan Mohan. So he personally sent two very, very beautiful deities to be installed on the left side of Govinda and Madan Mohan. He sent an entourage, great Vaishnavas, having kirtan, doing puja and worship all the way as they brought the deities over land from Puri to Braja. When those deities arrived in Vrindavan, practically all of Vrindavan was waiting for them. This was going to be such a glorious installation. They made all spectacular arrangements at Govinda's temple and Madan Mohan's temple. The night before the installation was to take place in the morning, Srimati Radharani appeared to the Madan Mohan Pujari and told him that Purushottam Jana, he was thinking that both these deities are me. But actually, one of these deities is me. The other is Lalita Sakhi. My desire is you should install me to the left of Madan Mohan and Lalita Sakhi to the right of Madan Mohan. You can tell the difference because she's a little bit taller than me. So the pujari woke up the next morning and told the assembled Vaishnavas. They were amazed to hear this. So there was a wonderful, wonderful prana pratishtha installation ceremony of Sri Radharani and Lalita Sakhi on the two sides of Sri Madan Mohan in his beautiful temple in Vrindavan Dham. The whole of Braj was celebrating days and days of festivities as Sri Radharani has appeared.
back in Jagannath Puri, Purushottam Jana, he was very happy what happened, but he was feeling very sad about there's no Radharani for Govindadev. We will discuss that story when we go to Radha Govinda's temple. But we can understand nicely the origin of the deities on both sides of Sri Madan Mohan through this narration, which is found in Bhakti Ratnakar. Sometime later, the Mughal emperor Aurangzeb, he made his plan to attack Vrindavan. At that time, the king of Jaipur, whose name was Jai Singh, he invited all the deities of Vrindavan, major deities, to come to his city to protect them. So Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Vinod, Radha Vrindavan Chandra, Radha Madhava, Radha Damodar, and others, they all came to Jaipur. Radha Govinda was worshipped in the very heart of Jaipur, in the palace of the king. And Madan Mohan had a beautiful temple as well. The princess, she became a very, very pure devotee of Madan Mohan. She surrendered her heart to the lotus feet of the deity. When she was just a little girl, from her smallest childhood, that deity was her life and soul. As she grew up, her father arranged for her marriage. And it was the custom at that time that royalty be married into a family of royalty. Where we are now, Karoli was a very opulent, powerful kingdom at that time. And perhaps a little later, you can look around and you'll see still the ancient stone walls protecting the fort and the palace. Karoli is a very important archaeological place in the great land of India. So an agreement was made where the king of Jaipur was going to marry his beloved daughter to the son of the king of Karoli. As is the custom, the marriage ceremony took place in Jaipur. Can you imagine what type of marriage that must have been? The marriage of kings? Both the entire population, practically, of both kingdoms would come to attend. After the marriage festivities came to its conclusion, it was time for the bride to go on procession back to the kingdom of Karoli, where her husband resides. To everyone's surprise, she said, "I'm not going to Karoli. You're married to the prince of Karoli. You have to go to Karoli." She said, "What is this marriage? This marriage is a temporary thing. My relationship with Madan Mohan is eternal. He is my supreme Lord and my supreme master. I am certainly very much willing to be a chaste, faithful servant of my husband, but not if he takes me away from the Dan Mohan. He is my eternal master, my eternal Lord. And she said it with such devotion that nobody became angry with her. Everyone's hearts totally melted. She was worshipable by all the kingdom because of her pure love. So what to do? The three kings met, and the king of Karoli said, well, we should bring Madan Mohan to Karoli. The girl said, he has to have a temple as nice as he has here in Jaipur. So he said, yes, I will build this temple. So the king of Karoli, he made it his number one priority in life to build a magnificent temple for Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. And when the temple was finished, the king of Jaipur gave Srimati Radharani, Madan Mohan, and the Lita Sakhi as dowry. So there was a wonderful procession where Sri Radha, Madan Mohan, and Lalita Devi were carried from Jaipur to Karoli and installed where they are today. This very devoted princess has taught the world a very, very wonderful lesson. That unless devotion to Krishna is in the center, in the heart of our relationships become material. They become irrelevant to the real purpose of life. And she lived here as the most perfect ideal wife. She later became queen. He became king. They ruled their citizens with compassion and love. But it was all with the deity of Krishna, Sri Madan Mohan, the heart, the center of everything in their lives. In this world, relationships are so very, very important. If relationships are not proper, they can create envy, hatred, fighting, divorce, wars, riots. And if relationships are properly situated, they could create harmony. They could open the doors to the spiritual world. Lord Vishnu told Prachetas, because of your friendly behavior toward one another, I am so pleased I have come before you and I will fulfill all your spiritual desires. Because your relationships are so friendly, centered around serving me. When we develop these types of relationships with each other, husbands and wives, parents and children, friends and friends, godbrothers, godsisters, godcousins, nephews, whatever relationships we have in the world, we should very carefully contemplate the princess of Karoli. If Krishna is not the center, if pleasing Krishna is not the purpose, I want nothing to do with it. Our relationships should bring us closer to Krishna. They should not take us away from Krishna. So we must apply this principle to what we speak amongst one another, how we behave with one another. Is it keeping us close to Madan Mohan, or is it taking us away from Sri Madan Mohan? We must discriminate, as she did. And we must very much respect and worship those who make such discrimination and who try to keep Krishna in the center of their lives. Chayatam sudatao pangor mama mandana teragati matsarvasva padambo jao radha madanamo. Since this time, Sri Sri Radha, Madan Mohan have been the very heart and soul of the city of Karoli. You see, today, the great kingdom has been dismantled. It's a small town. But if you come for the Mangal Arati, you'll find hundreds and hundreds of people running here to make it for the doors opening to see the blessed darshan of Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Wonderful, enthusiastic kirtan. Thousands of people in this town, their whole lives are centered around this temple. It's really wonderful. And we have much to learn from this. The only prominent thing that I know of in the entire town of Karoli is Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan in their temple. And the people here, so many of them, over the generations and in the present day, have such genuine, spontaneous love and dedication to this deity. We are very much blessed by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that we could be here today. And we should pray with our hearts very honestly and sincerely, begging Sri Madan Mohan and Sri Radharani to please deliver us from the endless cycle of material desires and fix our lives always in their loving service. Please attract my heart away from the arena of Cupid, Madan, and take me back into the abode of your loving service. We should pray to live by the principle of Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnana, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. That is how Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami taught us to worship Madan Mohan. And when it comes the time for their darshan, we should approach them with the spirit of beggars. Let me eternally serve you. Let me eternally please you. Let me eternally remember you. Let me always be the servant of the servant of your servants. And let me make the devotees happy by my service to them. And let me always taste the sweet nectar of your holy name. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Darshan is at 5 o'clock. The original plan was that we were to arrive here by 10 and leave by 2. Now it is about 4 because the darshan closes at 12 o'clock. They say man proposes and Krishna disposes. So Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, they wanted us here all day. So please everyone quickly go for prasad. And just after prasad we'll come back for darshan. And we'll have wonderful, wonderful prayer and kirtan before the deities. The original deities that Sanatana Goswami worshipped, that Advaita Acharya worshipped. And then we will proceed to Jaipur. We were supposed to arrive by 6 in the evening, but we will probably get there around midnight for your satisfaction. It's also very wonderful because the Yatra Management Committee is so well organized that if everything worked properly, then it would become very mechanical. But to keep the spirit of devotion spontaneous, these upheavals in our scheduling are very welcome. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.